Motherhood is a high and a holy calling. It is a high and a holy calling. You probably know this, but I want to remind you that Mother's Day was started by a lady by the name of Anna Jarvis. Amen. She knew what she was doing, 1908. Just a few years later, in 1914, President Woodrow Wilson made it a national holiday. The florist, they get rich on Mother's Day. It's the biggest flower day of the year, bigger than Valentine's Day. Apparently, people love their mothers more than their sweethearts. It's a huge telephone call day, 122 million calls to mother. 150 million cards are sent to mother. So it's been somewhat commercialized, but it's made it easy and convenient to be in contact with your mother. Over the years, I have, you know, been away, of course, a lot of the years away from my mom, but we talk on the phone usually once a week, maybe more than that. But just in the last year or so, my mother has learned how to text. And so she is texting me. I'll get text at all hours from her. And sometimes she'll just send me a text and say, "Well, I'm praying for you today. I felt like you might need that." And oh, that means a lot. That means a lot. I'll get messages from her, you know, different times. I hear from her via text message more than I have even through phone. So she's learned. Now, I've noticed that with I'm able to text her back pretty quick. Usually it'll take 20 or 30 minutes before I'll get a response. So she's a little slow on it, but she gets it done and gets the message back. But it's so good to be able to stay in contact, even if a lot of miles separate you. You never plan on that happening. It's just a part of it as far as the will of God, the purpose of God, that to send you in different directions. I have been reading Sister Allender's book. If you did not pick up that book when she was here, you need to get it. And you need to read her life story. I've been going through that. Her mother died when she was 5 years old. And she said she was the most beautiful woman I'd ever seen. And literally, she has a picture of her mother in the book. And she was a beauty. And she talked about how it was whenever her mother, whenever as a small child, you know, running into the house thinking she was going to tell her mother something and then being reminded of the fact she wasn't there. And how that just a couple of years later, I think it was that she was with her daddy one day and she said, "Daddy, I think it's about time that we get another mother." And the Lord sent a godly lady into their home to help her and to encourage her and be a mother to her, her growing up years. Mothers are so important. It is such an important and a high and a holy calling to be a mother. Psalm 127 and 128. Psalm 127 has five verses. Psalm 128 has six. We're going to read both of these psalms here this morning if you'll look with me. Psalm 127 in verse number 1. "Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman walketh or waketh, but in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he giveth his beloved sleep. Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate." And then Psalm 128, verse 1. "Blessed is every one that feareth the Lord, that walketh in his ways. For thou shalt eat the labor of thine hands. Happy shall thou be, and it shall be well with thee. Thy wife shall be as a fruitful vine by the sides of thine house. Thy children like olive plants around about thy table. Behold, that thus shall the man be blessed that feareth the Lord. The Lord shall bless thee out of Zion, and thou shalt see the good of Jerusalem all the days of thy life. Yea, thou shalt see thy children's children, and peace upon Israel. Amen. I mentioned that Mother's Day started with this lady, Anna Jarvis, or at least officially. She's known as the person who was the promoter of it because of her devotion to her mother. And then it became a national thing to be involved. But actually, it was God's idea from the very beginning. Mother's Day and Father's Day, that's God's idea. Just read the fifth commandment, Exodus chapter 20, verse 12. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Amen. Before the church was instituted, before any other divine institution, God established the family, the home, the marriage. Amen. God established it, by the way, between marriage, one man and one woman. That's important. I never thought we'd have to say that, but now we have to distinguish. That's what the Bible says. Between one man and one woman. Amen. It's the Word of God. And they play such an important role in the home, mother and dad, such an important role. Brother sound man up there, could we take these monitors down just a little bit? I heard a little bit of an echo up here. Thank you. The Bible says that Adam called Eve, called his wife Eve. Adam named his wife. He named her Eve because her name means life or place of life. Other places, the same Hebrew word is translated village, like a place of activity, a place of life. And I think that all of us, we can probably identify with the fact that mother many times is kind of, she's kind of the life of the home. She's the life of the family, right? It's just the way it is. I know that for years before my dad passed away, when I would call home, my dad, he was a man of few words. He despised talking on the phone. Usually, if he answered the phone, it was because my mom wasn't there. Or if he did answer the phone, she might have been, you know, outside. And as soon as she got close to the phone, he was saying, come to the phone, come and get this phone. And I think he probably even recognized, because he was such a person of few words, that usually it would take us about 30 seconds to get our conversation over. It's hard to talk with someone who just says yes and no and, you know, hardly has much to say. But then he would say, well, your mother's here now. And she'd get on the phone, and then the conversation would go on. Mothers are kind of like that. They are, as Eve's name represented, life or the place of life. I know that some mothers have resented the fact that the Bible describes that a mother, that the woman, Psalm 113 and verse 9, it says, he maketh the barren woman to keep house. And a lot of women resent that terminology there. It's more than one place. A keeper at home and to keep house. Like that the mother's place is to stay home and keep the floors swept and mopped. Keep the house. Well, that's really only a modern translation of the keeper of the house, because it really didn't mean that at all. It meant just what Eve was. She was the life of the house. She was to keep the home fires burning. She was the person who offered life and vitality, and she was the central person in that home. It doesn't mean that she was only, you know, designated to clean the house, to keep the house as far as physically. I don't know that was necessarily her single role at all. But the Bible says she was to be that person in the home who gave life to the home. She was the keeper of the home. She brought life to that place. Praise God. Now we're going to look here at Psalm 127 and 128, and it's important that we just say a couple of things about these two psalms. Actually, they're a part of a group of psalms, 14 or 15 Psalms that probably at the heading of your chapter 127 and 128, it may say something like a song of degrees or a song of ascent. And beginning with Psalm 130, for 15 of those Psalms, Psalm 130 or Psalm 120 through 134, those 15 Psalms were called the Songs of Degrees or the Psalm of Ascent. And they were recited by families, and they were sung as songs by families as they made their annual pilgrimage back to Jerusalem to offer sacrifices, and there in the time of the feasting that took place in Jerusalem on an annual basis. Jerusalem was a high elevation, and it was an ascent to that place. They were walking to the house of the Lord. They were walking to that place of remembering the sacrifice and doing what they were commanded to do, to go there and sacrifice. And they did not do it out of obligation or duty. They went to Jerusalem because they really looked forward to it. They longed for that time when they would go together. And it was instilled into the hearts of the young children, even as they made their way. Some believe that there were certain places along the pathway that they had been taught, here's where we sing this psalm, and here's where we sing this psalm. And as they would go along, all along the pathway that led, the Psalms of Degree, as they would make their progress toward the city of God, that they were singing these psalms. Praise God. You get that mental image of families walking together and traveling together, going to Jerusalem. Let's look at this psalm here, first of all, 127. And just making an application this morning to mothers and to families and to fathers. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh, but in vain. The key word in this psalm is vain. And really the word just means it's empty, it's futile. You're not going to be able to have any success if you try to accomplish these things in your own strength and your own power. And so all the effort that you put forth, except the Lord builds the house, except the Lord keeps the city. If you remove the Lord from the picture, you're going to fail. You're not going to be able to succeed at all. So as a reminder to all of us, and especially to those who have the responsibility and the great calling of motherhood, the reminder that you are the life of the home. You are the vitality there. And you do have a responsibility in the home. It's not just a single responsibility. Sure, it's a shared responsibility, but mothers play an important role. And you cannot successfully do what the Lord has called you to do as a mother unless you are a person who puts your trust in God. Amen. It's an important thing to make God the center of your home. If you're going to build a home that is a house that is after God, if you're going to build your home on truth and character and righteousness and purity and upon the principles of the Word of God, it's important that God is central in that home. Amen. God is not just a Sunday morning thing. It's not just something that you do when it's time to pray over the food. God is to be central in all that you're doing. And it's a sad, sad thing that many other things have become the most important thing in our families. The making of money, entertainment, all the different things that seem to have, they seem to be controlling what is happening in the home. And many people are making the mistake of, excuse me, building their family and their home on things that are of this life and of this world. And when you do that, it's all vanity, is what the psalmist is saying. It's worthless. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. It's a natural thing to want to strengthen and build your family. It's a natural thing to want to protect your family. But even that, you can't even protect them, as cautious as you might be. unless the Lord is in the center of what you're doing, Mom. Mothers want to protect their children. They want to preserve them from hurt or from trouble. They want to do all that they can to minister to them. But it's important how you build. Brother Lloyd was telling me the other day from Haiti. He was telling me that one of the major problems when the earthquake struck in Port-au-Prince, was the structures and a lot of the materials that went in to the building. He said they typically would make their mixture for cement. Most of the buildings and the houses are made out of cement. But what they would do to save was they would hold out cement and put more sand in, and thinking that they were going to be able to save money. And they saved money, but when the storm came and when the earthquake struck, then the whole place was devastated because they had held out the most important ingredient in the building. I think a lot of homes are like that. A lot of people, they're building up their homes on a lot of things. Their families, but they don't have the proper mixture and the proper priority. Jesus Christ as the center of the home. The Word of God as the center of the family. The teaching and the training and the raising up your children in the fear and the admonition of the Lord. If you are building your house on anything but Jesus Christ, the scripture says it's all vanity. It's futile. It's not going to hold up. Protecting them. Let me tell you, we live in a dangerous time, a dark and a difficult time. The enemy is looking for every possible way that he can attack you and attack your household, your family, your marriage, your children, your grandchildren. We have an enemy who hates the family because it was divinely instituted by God. That's why there's such a prominent attack in our nation today. Against marriage, defining it, redefining it, against children, against the family, and it is so difficult to work to build and to protect your family. Let me tell you, if you're self-sufficient, if you're trying to do it in your own strength, if you think you can, I must give you the warning: you are doing it in vain. It's not going to hold up. You've got to have the Lord. You need the Lord. And you think about those little children that are growing up in your household, in your family. Right now, some of you with small children. There's nothing, nothing that you would not do for them. You will buy them what they need. You will go to the utmost degree to try to help them and to bless them and provide for them. But I want to remind you that there is nothing more important than you being a Christian mom. There's nothing more important than you emphasizing and teaching the Word of God to them. Training them up in the fear of God. That's the most powerful thing that you can do. It's really the only thing that's going to last. As you build into them the strength of character and to know the Lord. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he giveth his beloved sleep. You know what? When you put Jesus Christ as the center of your home, there is a certain amount of peace that comes to your household because you realize you cannot do it in your own power. And you have put them into the hands of the Lord. You've given them to the Lord. I can remember my mother saying when we were boys growing up, and she probably did it somewhat to scare us. But I remember usually I would overhear her saying this. That she would say, well, when my boys were very little, you know, when my mom got saved, I was 4 years old. My other brother was 2 and my younger brother was a newborn. And so they had a dedication service. I didn't know this till just in the last few days that my mom was telling me about this. They had a dedication service. And instead of it was all three of us were dedicated at the same time. Our whole family, of course my dad wasn't there, but our family was dedicated to the Lord at that same time. And I can remember overhearing my mother more than once saying, I have prayed that if they were not going to serve God, that the Lord would just take them while they're young. The fear of God would strike my heart. I think, oh, if I don't serve God, God is going to take me out of here young. Well, I believe she meant it. I believe she prayed a serious prayer. It was a prayer that when you commit your family to the Lord, then you can live in peace. And you can even sleep at night because you put them into the hands of the Lord. He gives his beloved peace. Amen. So that's a challenge that we have here. Have you heard this quote? It's on some Mother's Day cards. And it's one of these ridiculous quotes. It sounds really good, but it's not biblical at all. God could not be everywhere, so that's why he created mothers. Mothers, don't that put the pressure on? That puts the pressure on. But we know that's not true because we know that God is everywhere. He is everywhere. Sure, mothers have responsibility and dad has responsibilities. But I want you to know, if you'll commit your household and your family to the Lord, he can give you peace. Amen. And assurance. Amen. A confidence from the Lord. Parents want to protect their children. And it's a natural thing. I mean, I'm not even told Marcia this. I had a dream last night. I don't dream very often, but I had a dream that it was Mandy, our daughter, who's actually in her 30s, but she was a little girl, and she was somehow we had left her at the airport and alone, and when we realized it, I was so frantic to try to get there, and I was thinking all the terrible things that could be happening to her. They're all by herself. And then I woke up on Mother's Day morning, and I was thinking, that should have been Mother's dream and not my dream, troubling me last night. It doesn't matter if they're 3 years old or 33 years old. You always carry the burden of your family. You always do it. That's a natural thing. But the Lord can give you peace, and he can give you confidence. Amen. So that's a challenge to us today. And secondly, our children are to be, they're to be a part of our vision, an extension of the vision that God gives to us. Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. Now, the concept that the world has and the concept of the Word of God is just two things. People, if you have several children and you go out into a public place, I know, I've seen this before, people with a large family, people look at them like, why didn't they keep those kids at home? They're going to make a mess here. They're too loud. We've experienced this even just taking our grandchildren out. Only a couple of them or three of them out somewhere. And people have a general attitude of, we don't like kids too much. That's a spirit that's in this age today that doesn't see the potential of little children and the blessing of little children. The psalmist said children are a heritage, or they are an inheritance, something valuable. The fruit of the womb is his reward. It is they are a blessing. And we are to see that children are something that God has set his blessing upon them, and they are a blessing to you in your life. They are a blessing to the house of God and to the people of God. Amen. You think about the fact that 100 million children worldwide live on the streets. This is one of the greatest heartbreaks that you can imagine. 100 million children sleep on the streets. In India, 11 million children go to sleep every night, maybe in a cardboard box or on the curb or somewhere. I'm talking little small children with no one to care about them, no one to take care of them. Egypt, 1.5 million. Pakistan, 1.5 million. Kenya, 300,000. The Philippines, 250,000. And the list goes on. 100 million little children are seen as not an asset or a blessing, but they're seen as just something that, you know, a liability, another mouth to feed. They're seen as not precious and valuable. D.L. Moody said, if I could relive my life, I would devote my entire ministry to reaching children for God. So these missionaries, some who have literally taken on their heart a ministry to children, God bless them for reaching out to these little children. I was so touched by the fact that in the little the video presentation that we saw that was shown at David Wilkerson's funeral, that at the end of his life, at just in the last years of his life, that he had been praying, Lord, what do you want me to do? I'm old and I can't do what I used to do. What do you want me to do in the rest of my life? And he said, the voice of the Lord spoke to him and said, feed the poor. Feed the poor. And so he started a movement, feeding the poor all over the world. It's called Please Pass the Bread. I asked Brother Lloyd about it as we were on the way to the airport. Have you ever heard of that? He said, oh yeah. Feeding stations all over Haiti. There are many of these third world countries, and that he's poured the funds. And, no doubt, Brother Wilkerson, that there was a fortune that came his way, and he used that fortune. His book, Crossing the Switchblade, has sold 50 million copies since it was written. That's just one of his books. No doubt there's been a fortune that has come his way, but he's chosen to give that, to minister to those that were in need, and to feed these poor families and these children all over the world. I have to tell you, I would say that was a very touching thing to me, that he would give of his latter days and of his blessing and fortune to minister to people who were in need all over the world. Children are a precious asset. They are a blessing. They truly are. And the world doesn't really welcome them, but the Bible says they are a gift. They are a heritage. They are inheritance. They are a reward. But not only that, it says they're like arrows in the hand of a mighty man, or like arrows in the hand of a warrior. They are a blessing. They are an asset to the work of God, to the spiritual battles that we're involved in. You're raising up right in your own household those who can contribute to the work of the Lord. I've told some of these pastors where my daughters work somewhat jokingly, that I resent them a great deal. Because my daughters, I raised them up and they're fighting their battles and not mine. But I just pray the Lord will send some children our way, and he has, here, to help us fight this battle here on this local front right here. Amen. They are not only a spiritual asset in the warfare, but they are to be aimed at a target. They are to be directed toward the things of the Lord. And that's the most important thing to me, and always has been, that my children would know God, that they would know to follow the Lord, and that they would be aimed in a direction that they could be useful in the hands of the Lord. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Happy is the man that has his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gates. Mothers, they're a blessing. They're an asset to you. They're useful in your spiritual struggles and battles. And God has allowed you to be the instrument that points them in a particular direction to be used of God. In Psalm 128, this is a psalm that talks about God's blessing and the fear of the Lord. You'll notice that it's in verses together. Verse 1, blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord, that walketh in his ways. And then in verse number 4, behold, that thus shall the man be blessed that feareth the Lord. Amen. When we think of the fear of the Lord, sometimes I think we misunderstand really what it means to fear God. But there needs to be a whole new baptism of reverence and the fear of God in our lives, in our homes, in the house of God. Amen. A new awe of who God is, and respect for the things of God, a respect for the Word of God. Sister Allender in her book said that the Mexican people, that they so revere the Word of God that if their Bible, and I know this may be sound a little bit superstitious, but if their Bible touches the ground, then they feel like that they have to ask the Lord to forgive them because their Bible touched the ground. Now we know that we're not worshipers necessarily of this book, but we know that it is to be honored and to be revered. And that the things of God, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. And we can go on and on with the verses of Scripture that describe how that God can instill in us. But with the fear of the Lord comes blessing. When we teach our children to fear God, we are taking them down the pathway of God's blessing. Amen. They will be blessed. They will find favor. This describes it here. In verse 2, for thou shalt eat. If you fear the Lord, God says, I will bless you. I will bless you. For thou shalt eat the labor of thine hands. Your work will be successful. And God will cause you to be fruitful in your labors. Happy shalt thou be, and it shall be well with thee. That's your life. You're going to live a life under the favor of God if you fear the Lord. Thy wife shall be as a fruitful vine by the side of thine house, and thine children shall will like olive plants around the table. Amen. That your household and your family are fulfilled and they are blessed. Your children are fulfilled and they are blessed, and they are experiencing the things of the Lord in their life and are blessed because they've been taught the fear of the Lord. Verse 5, it says, the Lord shall bless thee out of Zion, and thou shalt see the good of Jerusalem all the days of thy life. Now, if you look into this verse of Scripture, it describes the fact that Jerusalem, seeing the goodness of Jerusalem, is that we recognize that Jerusalem and the New Testament Jerusalem, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, it really is talking about the fact that you and your household and your family will be a blessing to Jerusalem and to the house of God. Amen. Amen. The church will be blessed because of you. Amen. Many times when I pray, I will ask the Lord, Lord, send families in our church. Send families into our church. Now, sometimes that might be a single mom with children, or I understand all different kinds of circumstances that are in families. But Lord, send families, because families have an impact. Families can make such a difference. Families can bless the church. Amen. If you fear the Lord, He'll bless you and He will make you a blessing among the people of God and in the house of God. In verse 6, yea, thou shalt see thy children's children in peace upon Israel. Amen. You fear the Lord and God will bless you, not only your children, but your grandchildren, and generations to follow will experience the blessing of the Lord upon them because of your fear of the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. What a task. What a responsibility it is to be a parent, to be a mom, to be a dad. It's a holy calling. It's more important than any other calling that you have. Fulfill it. Amen. Reading a little blog by Gary Wilkerson, David Wilkerson's son. He talked about the fact that they said, our dad was so busy, but he always took time with us. He always took time with us. He would come home and he would spend time with us. And he said we knew that he was committed to us and that he loved us, and that he wanted us to know God and know the God that he served. Praise God. Amen. What a heritage we can have. What a blessing our home can be. Even to the house of God, even to the church, even to the community at large. Amen. As we are used of the Lord. Amen. Let's accept the call. Father, we thank you today because we know that you do raise up men and women. You raise up mothers in such a dark time as we are living in now. And I thank you, Lord, that you can instruct us and lead us in the ways that are right. And I pray today, Lord, that you will minister mightily to each mother here today. Encourage them to know, Lord, that their influence is so important. Their life is so important. The people that they're touching, it is so important. Lord, raise up godly women, godly mothers who are known for their character, who are known for their purity, their righteous living. Lord, raise them up, Lord, as an influence in our world today, I pray. In Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Would you stand with me this morning? Glory to God. Oh, we thank you, Lord Jesus. We thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. I'm so glad I've learned to trust thee, precious Jesus, Savior, friend. And I know that thou art with me and will be with me to the end. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust thee, how I proved it o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust him more. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Praise the Lord. Is there anyone here in this service this morning? You'd like prayer. You're in need. You'd like special prayer. You'd like the church to join with others praying for you. And you just step out and come here to this altar area and let us pray for you. Maybe it's sickness or something else that you're dealing with. Maybe it's just needs in your family, in your home. God knows all about that. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Just let the Lord help you today. Anybody? You want the church to pray with you? We'd like to pray with you. Glory to God. Glory to God. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.